Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Annie McCarrick, Jojo Dollard, Fiona Pender, Ciara Breen, Fiona Sinnott, and of course Deirdre Jacob. Six names that resonate with everybody because they went missing over a very short period of time between 1993 and 1998 in a certain part of the country, and because they were normal people going about their business in their everyday routine. And detectives believe that two people hold the key to Gardaí finalising their file to the DPP on the abduction and the murder of Deirdre Jacob more than 20 years ago. The investigation is at an advanced stage now, with the main suspect identified as the convicted rapist Larry Murphy, who is now living in the UK. And on the 21st anniversary of Deirdre's disappearance from outside her home in Kildare, two crucial lines of inquiry are still remaining: securing the cooperation of a close associate of Murphy who had previously claimed to have incriminating information on him, and contacting an anonymous caller to Newbridge Garda Station who said they saw something potentially suspicious near where Miss Jacob was abducted the day she went missing. Deirdre vanished from the gates of her own home, by the way, in Newbridge at around 3 o'clock on Tuesday, July the 28th, 1998. And to give me a bit more information and tell us a bit more about Deirdre is her father, Michael Jacob, who's on the line with us. Michael, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Michael, you know, the names have been in our minds and in our hearts for the last 20 years because every now and again we hear the stories about your daughter, of course, and Annie McCarrick and Jojo Dollard and Fiona Pender and Ciara Breen and Fiona Sinnott and all those names that we're all very familiar with at this stage. So Deirdre is, of course, back in the news again because of, obviously, these two lines of inquiry, and a file is now going to the DPP. Maybe you could give us a bit of an update on that and where it stands currently at the moment.
Well, the review has taken place at the moment, and will probably come to a conclusion in the next couple of months. This review started a year last January, and a special team of people were put on it, and they were given the task of analysing every document, every questionnaire, every piece of investigation that was done at the time and over the years, going through that in great detail, so that their work is coming to a conclusion now. They also looked further at the various CCTV tapes from the time as well. Those were enhanced.
Yeah, because the technology now, of course, would be better than 20 years ago.
Modern technology. Yeah. So they were enhanced with a view to identifying people more clearly on the street, and also in some cases they were able to make clearer a wider swipe and pick up some car regs and the like. So
because 20 years ago, of course, it wouldn't have been as easy. Nowadays we've CCTV everywhere, right? But 20 years ago there wouldn't have been quite as much of it. So it's almost like a jigsaw trying to put together those pieces.
That's true. But even at that stage, Deirdre was picked up quite a number of times as she walked around the centre of Newbridge. So it's those tapes that
do me a favour, for those who don't remember, of course, the story, and of course you will remember it every day of your life, of course, Michael, because it's your daughter, and my condolences to you, by the way. And something I wanted to ask you, if it's not too insensitive, by the way, either: the DPP is now, the file has been sent for the abduction and the murder of Deirdre Jacob, is what it says in the paper. And of course the abduction we all know about, but when they use the word murder, there's almost, you know, the suggestion that we have obviously given in, that we're not going to find Deirdre alive. I mean, when was that introduced to it? And in relation to the word murder, maybe that's my ignorance, I always thought that we have to have found a body before we can actually accuse somebody of a murder.
Well, you see, when the evidence collected reaches a particular point, investigators are able to decide that, okay, we have found such compelling evidence from many, many sources, that they can then decide that that it can be upgraded, if you like, to a murder case. And this is what actually happened in Deirdre's case. As I say, this review, it was very, very intensive. Great detail has gone into it, and in lots of cases, a lot of people who were in the area were questioned again, just to find out if they remembered anything more clearer. So the result of all that is that last August, the investigators decided that the case had moved on to such a degree that it was appropriate to upgrade it to a murder case.
And how does that feel for you as a family, Michael?
The good thing about it is we were aware, and we always are. We have a very good working relationship with the Gardaí and the investigators, and we're kept informed on all cases. So we were aware that this was going to happen, but nevertheless, on the morning that came out on the newscast, it hit us like a ton of bricks. All right.
Can I ask you, Michael? You know, let's go back to the start if we possibly can. For those who don't remember the case, and this is Tuesday, July the 28th, 1998, a day that you'll never forget for the rest of your life, I'm pretty sure. But I mean, Deirdre, a young woman, her whole life ahead of her, 18 years of age. I mean, do you remember that day? Like, I'm sure you do, like it's yesterday.
We remember it very, very well, certainly. And of course, it started out as just any day in the middle of summer. Bernadette was and myself, we were both working, and I was away quite early that morning. I was away before 8 o'clock, and Bernie would have been away about 8:30 or something like that, Deirdre was at home. She had just been away for the weekend before that. Had a weekend with some of her college friends. They had got together for that weekend. So she was just back the evening before. And so she was very excited about all they had done over the weekend.
Yeah.
And then on the day then, she had a couple of errands to run. One which was to send some money back to some of her colleagues in London. The first year they had spent their college year on campus, and then, as usual, then they were moving out then to their own accommodation then for the second year and subsequent years. So her task on the day was to walk into Newbridge about midday
to the bank,
secure a bank draft, and then post it off to her friend in London. Which she done. She completed all those tasks, and then she made her return journey, dropping in to see her grandmother, which she was with her from about 2:20 to about 2:30. And at that point, then she left and proceeded to walk the 25 minutes to our home. She was spotted a number of times as she walked along, on some occasions by people.
And the roads, by the way, between the grandmother and your house, would they be roads that would be heavily populated? Are they main roads? Would it have been dark? I suppose it wouldn't really have been dark that time of the year at that time.
Not at all. It wasn't dark, no. But the Deirdre's grandmother was in the centre of Newbridge at that time. So when she left the grandmother, she had quite a piece of street to walk on, and then she walked on to local people here would know. She walked on to the riverside and walked along that for a couple of hundred metres, and then she would have rounded the Dominican College, or maybe walked through the Dominican College grounds, and how from there then she would have about 10 minutes walk to our home.
So was the last sighting? Who was the last person to see?
The last sighting of Deirdre was at just a couple of moments past 3 o'clock. There were two people, a man and his daughter, were driving into Newbridge, and they spotted Deirdre a little distance up front, walking across the road into our gateway.
Right.
And when they drove past our gateway, Deirdre had just gone into the gateway.
Gosh.
And that was just, as I said, a couple of minutes past 3 o'clock. And that was the last sighting of Deirdre. We never were able to establish what happened to Deirdre, where she went or who she met or whatever after that point.
And for you as a family, of course, when she didn't come home, which would have been unusual for her, obviously you contact the police. The police would, at the time, would have probably given you the usual that you have to wait a certain period of time before a person can be, you know, established as missing. And the next 3 or 4 days must have been a nightmare.
Yeah, well, just going back to that evening, Kira's mother was home just after 6 o'clock. And she was concerned immediately because she expected Deirdre to be in the house. Mm-hmm. And when she came to the door, she realized the door was double locked, meaning that there was no one in the house. And Deirdre, not having contacted anyone to say that I'm gone away to do something else, which would be very unusual. Deirdre was very, very careful. She would always let us know about her change of plans or new plans or mm-hmm. or the like. So,
of course, this is the days before mobile phones where we could contact each other. Yeah,
yeah. So Deirdre not being in the house was concerned. Now I was home a little bit later on, and so at that even at that stage, Bernie had already phoned some of Deirdre's friends to check if she was with them. And we continue to do that a little bit later on. Then Kira, Deirdre's sister and myself, we drove back into Newbridge, walked around, looked around, drove along the roadways, both out of town and that. And then we were becoming more concerned. None of Deirdre's friends had said they had talked to her during the day. And so we decided then to go to the local Garda station, the Garda station in Newbridge, and we voiced our concern about Deirdre. And I think they realised that there was something out of place, and so they didn't wait.
They started immediately, yeah.
No, they didn't. They didn't wait. They actually started to search straight away. They put people out on the street, and that with Deirdre's description. And in the meantime, then local people and friends were becoming concerned as well. So right through that night, we searched the area around. We searched around our home. Some of the local farmers got their tractors out and searched the fields with their headlights right through the night. So it was ongoing, and more people were becoming involved. And then very early the next morning, then the local Sergeant Seamus Rotwell, set up a search point, and he started direct operations and sent people in various directions and with what to do and whatever. And that type of search then, under the guidance of Sergeant Seamus Rotwell, who is now Inspector Seamus Rotwell. That search continued for about four or five weeks. It was mounted in the farmyard of our local farmer, where the people could group gather and park and go out and search. And then at various times, meals were ready for people who were searching. So there was a very, very intensive search conducted at the time.
And your family at the time, I mean, this resonates a lot with myself, because my own brother went missing for 3 days, and I could say maybe luckily they found his body in the end. But in your situation, obviously they didn't, so I can only imagine what that must have felt like, because I know how my mother felt for the 3 days that he was missing. And it must be terrible on the family for to extend to that 4 weeks. But is there a point, Michael, where, you know, the family, you know, kind of says, well, there's no point in going any further. I've often wondered to myself, when I hear all these names mentioned and Deirdre's name mentioned as well, at what point do you say to yourself, we're not going to find her? We're not going to find her.
Well, you know, that isn't the case, because, you know, and probably maybe it's the makeup of the human mind. You are always...
There's always hope.
You always live on hope all the time, and I think it was in those first weeks and months, and even in the first years, then we were being carried along on a huge tide of hope.
But you don't get time to grieve. I don't know in 20 years, Michael, whether you've ever grieved over the loss of your daughter, and that must be terrible.
Other other than the fact that she's not there and we're not in contact with her. But in real terms, you live with this huge amount of hope. Of course, you're saying, "Well, look, this is not the character of what Deirdre was about."
And
you have to factor in all that. But at the same time, look at, and even after 21 years, you always have that little glimmer of hope. Of course, maybe there's other lines of inquiry.
Well, look, the glimmer of hope now is, of course, is that, you know, they're examining a lot of things. They're examining, first of all, how they can secure the cooperation of a man who's a close associate of Larry Murphy. There was also, they were eager to trace an anonymous caller who rang the station after last year's appeal and said they saw something potentially suspicious near where Deirdre disappeared on the day she vanished. So they're kind of eager to... I know they did send Gardaí to Britain last year in the company of the London Metropolitan Police, and they doorstepped Larry Murphy, but he refused to answer any questions. And this seems to be the line of inquiry now, Michael.
Well, there are a number of lines of inquiry. One has to focus on this. There's not just one single line of inquiry. There are a number of lines of inquiry, and until each one is eliminated in their turn, you have to have an open mind on it. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very important. And this is what I have to try and get across to the public out there, to whoever may have a glimmer of information on whatever aspect or whatever.
People could have information they believe is kind of irrelevant. And
that's right.
Yeah, and I mean, look, we know it's a long time ago. We understand it's 20 years ago. And if people remember July 1998, you might remember what you were doing. You might have had an anniversary or a wedding or something around that time that will jog your memory of the time. And if you happen to be around that area of Newbridge, of Rosebery and Newbridge in County Kildare, there might have been something that you saw. Maybe look up online and see a picture of Deirdre to maybe jog your memory. So you're looking for anybody who may know something, who may have saw something, who might have heard something through the grapevine, even if you believe it was a bit of idle gossip, but something that might be important to the guards.
That's vitally important, indeed, that people will look upon whatever they may have. It may be something, a very solid piece of information, but for some reason or other, they didn't come forward with it. Maybe their lifestyle at the time didn't allow them to come forward, but now maybe that lifestyle is different and they're maybe in a freer situation. Or it may be just, a very idle piece of gossip, but nevertheless, that might be something that's was overheard.
Yeah, that idle bit of gossip might put two pieces of the puzzle together.
It might indeed. And you know, we need people to feel. Look, what's the right thing to do? I have this piece of information. The right thing is to bring it into the Gardaí, the investigators, and let them piece it together. It's just like there's a big jigsaw there with a few missing pieces, and those little rumours or those little pieces of gossip that might have been overheard could well start to fill in the pieces. And as I say, there are a number of lines of inquiry there, and the all investigations, and as I say, there are a number of families like ourselves in the same situation, and they are all looking at this jigsaw with gaps in it.
And it must be. I know, Michael. You just want. I'm not saying you want an end to it because that just sounds so insensitive for me to say that. But you certainly want to. I suppose some sort of finality to it. You want to find out what happened to Deirdre. Do you want to know where she is? Where she's buried?
Of course, we want to know. Yeah. That's that. You know, and that's that. Once you know, you can maybe begin to understand a little bit. Now, we are never, no matter what we find out now, we are never going to totally understand why this should happen. If a young girl in the middle of summer on her summer holidays, walking in her own gate, suddenly disappears, you know, something happened, something awful happened or whatever, and we need to know that.
And you want justice for her as well. You know what I mean?
Of course you do.
You want justice.
Of course you do. But the great thing, first of all, is to try and piece together. We will never, if something very, very bad has happened to Deirdre, we will never understand why a human being or a couple of human beings will do that or do something dreadful to another. We just can't understand. We can't contemplate that type of thing happening.
And that's I don't think anybody can, Michael. I don't think anybody understands why something like that would happen.
The thing about it is we are just appealing again, and it's to that those people who have that piece of information and not to sit on it any longer. Now is the time to decide. The right thing to do now is to offload that piece of information directly to the Gardaí, and if that is not within their means to do it, there are other ways where they can have that information.
And they can call the Gardaí confidentially. There is a confidential line.
You would probably mention the lines at the end.
I will.
They can be assured that the Gardaí will handle their case and handle their information very, very sensitively. There won't be any question of getting into trouble for not having brought it forward. The main thing is to bring it forward. The Gardaí will handle it, as I say, both sensitively and confidentially.
Okay.
And it's to get that piece of information so we can move Deirdre's case on a bit further. And similarly with the other cases, there is always information out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. The siblings and parents of Annie and Jojo and Fiona and Kira.
That's right.
And the other Fiona Sinnott as well, and including yourselves as well,
yeah.
Michael, with Deirdre. So if anybody was in and around, if you can remember 20 years ago, and I always say to people when you try to jog your memory as to 1998, for example, I remember I was working in Coco's nightclub in Talla. So that would kind of, if you remember where you were working, what you were doing at the time, it might jog your memory a little bit. And it was around July, so it would have in the peak of the summer, right in the yes. middle of the summer, the long evenings.
In the case of Newbridge and around to Kildare, the one thing that will jog everyone's mind for that time is Kildare were on a serious run in the football. They were coming up to playing in the All Ireland semi final and consequently going on to play in the final, and everyone was talking about football in Kildare at the time, and that is a big focus for them.
Okay, so that was Tuesday, July the 28th. It was a Tuesday afternoon, in and around 3 o'clock or so. So if anybody has any information, as I said, look online. If you don't know what Deirdre looks like, have a quick look online. If you just Google Deirdre Jacobs' name, I'm sure you'll see a photograph of her, a young 18-year-old girl. And she's a beautiful young woman. And if you have a look online there, you get a good idea what she looks like. You might just remember something. Or indeed, maybe you're in a pub one night and someone just happened to say something and you passed it off as just idle gossip. That idle gossip might be important to the guards. It might be completely false. They'll be the ones that'll decide with that. You're better off passing on the information. At least you say you did your bit, all right? And you can contact the Gardaí in Newbridge at 045 431 212. That's 045 431 212. Or if you want to, and you want to be completely confidential about it, and you feel a little bit insecure about it, you can call the Gardaí confidential line, and that's 1-800-666-111. That's easy to remember. 1-800-666-111. And they'll take all your details. And remember, as Michael rightly says, you won't get into trouble if it's a bit of information you had that you probably should have given 20 years ago. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to give out to you. It's just really important to Michael and his family and everybody involved. Listen, Michael, thank you very much, and I wish you well. And I hope we get justice for Deirdre at some point.
Thank you very much, Noel. Thank you very, very much indeed.
All right, there you go. There's Michael Jacob, father of Deirdre Jacob, who has been missing now 20 years. As I said, they're now at an advanced stage in that investigation, and the file has been sent to the DPP, so I think we could see some good news on the horizon of that. But all your information is extremely important to to secure a conviction, I suppose, as well, as apart from anything else.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.